From PGA to where you should play. This is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Good morning and welcome in to the CDGA Golf Show. I'm Tyler Rocky. No Barry Cronin today. He's on vacation. He's out and about. Safe travels to you, Bear. We've got Mike Gilligan from the CDGA with us today. Good morning, Mike, and thanks for hopping on with us and flying co-pilot with me today.
Well, thank you, Tyler, and happy Easter to you and to all of our golfing listeners out there in the Chicagoland area.
Thank you very much. And I'm trying to think, Easter, a good golf holiday, a not-so-good golf holiday? Is it one that you can kind of wiggle your way away and get out there on the course at all? Like, what are we looking at in terms of golfing on Easter? Is it taboo? What are we thinking here?
Depends on the family situation, I suppose. For us single guys out there, I'm sure you're out there waiting for the frost to clear here. But it's mainly a family day, but if you can schedule your activities to be in the afternoon and get in that early round here. But Mother Nature here in the Chicagoland area has a lot to do with golf on Easter. And
absolutely. Yep.
Unfortunately,
well, you braved it out yesterday. So we'll talk about what your round and just the early experiences of golfing a little bit later on. But we have a ton to do today, including give away some awesome stuff, including a zero friction wheel golf bag. You're going to want to get in on this. We're going to be giving away a bunch of these little prize packs courtesy of Zero Friction throughout the course of the show. And also, if you're watching us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. I'm holding this up to the camera right now. This is going to be a part of our big grand prize. It's going to be that Zero Friction wheel bag as well as this Laser Pro rangefinder as well. One of these rangefinders is something I'm in the market for, too. And we're going to talk to John Iacono, the founder of Zero Friction, at 8:15. I got to get in on gloves and a rangefinder. Those are my two to-dos before I finally get back out there and make my debut on the course here in 2022. So we look forward to talking at John at 8:15. But let's recap what went on last week down at Augusta, Georgia. It was a very emotional finish for a lot of people involved down at Augusta, whether it was Tiger Woods, whether it was the champion Scottie Scheffler, who at just 25 gets his first major victory, puts on that green jacket. Cameron Young, he was so good for so long and then just kind of crumbled down the stretch there. Rory McIlroy and Colin Morikawa was the group of that final round. What was your biggest takeaway, Mike, from that final round at Augusta?
Well, I think like most of us watching Tiger, I, you know, call it creepy, call it what you will, I couldn't help but watch his right leg all day, every round, just to see how it measured up versus his left leg and how was he moving along. But it was good to see him out there. It was good for golf. You know, and unfortunately Tiger's finish wasn't Tiger-esque like we all hoped, like the Cinderella story, right? But it was a victory to see him out. It was just great for the fans and for those that I've talked to that were there. They said the atmosphere was electric everywhere he went, especially Thursday, Friday. But you could tell that the leg, you know, gave him problems on the weekend. I mean, that golf course is not flat by any stretch of the imagination, and I could really see him struggle going downhill. And that was, you know, over 4 days and not having played 72 holes in quite some time, that posed a problem. But for Scottie Scheffler, I mean, he just showed the world why he's number one and deservedly so.
And I think he alerted a lot of the world that he is number one,
too. That's right.
I think a lot of people were like, who is the Scottie Scheffler guy? And then he just kind of came out and put together a dominant round and really never left it in doubt. I mean, there was that little stretch. I think he bogeyed and Cameron birdied and pulled it within one stroke. I think it was -9 and -8, but it was a one-stroke differential at one point. But after that, it was all Scottie Scheffler after about three or four holes.
Well, I would think that also what lit the fuse is that chip in on, you know, hole number two. Or, you know, I mean, that thing was had a little bit of heat going on it. And if it doesn't hit the pin, he may not even get that thing up and down. And then Cameron Smith and he have game on. It could be of a totally different you know, finish. And I think Curtis Strange said it best when it happened. He said, this could be the shot we look back on. And that was the key for him to win the Masters. And honestly, you know, with all the focus over on Tiger the first few days, I think it allowed a guy like Scottie Scheffler to just kind of get in his place and not have the world looking quite at him just yet. And it allowed him to basically go wire to wire just about in this.
Yeah. And Scottie even talked about it a little bit, how having the Tiger storyline there sort of helped him out, sort of alleviated some of that pressure. And it wasn't just him. It was a lot of these younger guys. That's why it made a lot of sense that this could be a chance for a first-time champion, because they don't have, obviously, once you get into those pressure-packed putts down the stretch, and boy, did Scotty four-putt his way through it at the end, too. But when you get into some of these pressure cooked scenarios down the stretch, you maybe don't feel it as much because there's still that roar somewhere else. And in the back of your mind, usually in a golf tournament, you hear that roar and it's, oh no, someone's on my tail. But in this case, it's Tiger. I feel like that takes some of the stress away from a guy like Scottie Scheffler.
It certainly does. In fact, I think with the younger guys, as they go into a major like the Masters, for example, is the pressure's not on them. The pressure's on the guys who've won before, mm-hmm. that are going to try to win again, defend their title. They're basically expected to be at the top of the leaderboard. Where, you know, last year, Scottie Scheffler was like, Scottie who?
Yep.
For
final pairing in general, it was Cam who and Scottie who.
That's right. I mean, you know.
The only Scottie and Cameron I know is a putter.
That's right. How ironic is that the two guys in the final group come up with the first names of Scottie Cameron? You know, titleist and Scottie Cameron, love that.
Exactly. 312-332-3776. What was your biggest takeaway from the Masters last Sunday and the final round at Augusta? Also, getting back to the Tiger question here, because it was great to see him out there. He clearly was on a lot of adrenaline those first 2 days. Again, this was going to be, how did he handle the marathon? I think we all knew he could handle the sprint of it, right? An 18-hole round to open it. Maybe that second round he could still be cooking on a little bit of adrenaline. But what does hole 54 look like? What does hole 64 look like for a guy like Tiger Woods? And you saw it start to catch up with him a little bit. The putting, he really faltered there. He hit the ball not terribly those second 2 days, but the putting killed him. I think his ball striking the first 2 days was a little bit worse than it was when he was really struggling on those last 2 days. I mean, how many times did you see him put it in the trees off a drive, but just play really good recovery golf after that? He was a much more conservative player those first 2 days, and then he sort of resets himself. And I don't know if it's fatigue, I don't know if it's the leg catching up to him, or how about the fact that, hey, he's still nursing a back injury right now, too, that he's got to overcome throughout all of this as well.
Well, I would also go so far as to say that the weather didn't help him at all either.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking
good
about
point
temperatures
as well
down in the Augusta area, which just aren't common during that time of the season, and the wind. And I think when you couple the fatigue with the, you know, with some of those greens where you are up high and the wind is blowing, it does not take much for you to just be sort of pushed just ever so slightly. And as we know, it's a game of inches, and it's less than that at Augusta with these greens. And so, you know, I think it's a combination of the weather and the stamina and, you know, all of it combined. But I do think it is a bit of a moral victory that he was out there. Some may have said he probably shouldn't have gone, but, you know, the Masters is an event in a golf course that he knows better than most. And I think if he wants a chance to get at Jack's record, you know, the time clock is ticking and he's 46 years old and he needs to start playing if he's going to try to win three more to catch him. And Tiger thinks he can do it.
Yeah.
That's the amazing part about all this.
If he didn't think he could do it, he wouldn't do it.
That's exactly right.
He'd be out by now. Or he'd be playing some smaller event. Like, he wouldn't be gunning for it the way that he is right now. So 312-332-3776. What are your overall feelings on Tiger Woods and what he accomplished at the Masters? And do you think we're going to see a lot more of him before that Open Championship? Because he has committed to the Open. He's filed for the U.S. Open as well. Doesn't mean he's going to play, but he's filed his name in there. And there's a couple little smaller events. It looks like he's going to play in a pro-am as well out in Ireland. But how much of Tiger do you think we're going to see between now and the Open? And how much should we see of Tiger between now and the Open if we want to see him really have a chance at the Old Course of St. Andrews?
Honestly, I don't think we'll see much of him. I think we will see him get ready for all the majors. I don't believe we will see him playing in an array of tour events. He may play in, for example, the Memorial, some of the majors within the majors, mm-hmm. so to speak, yeah. or of the bigger tour stops. But he is built to play major championship golf. And I would be shocked if he does not show up in Tulsa at Southern Hills, a place that he has won at. So he has that going for him. He won back in 2007. So he knows that golf course. And I think for that reason alone, I think he will consider the PGA Championship up to the very last second.
Kind of like what he did with the Masters.
Exactly.
He can't go that far, really, like he did with the Masters. But he's going to take it to that deadline. And he should.
That's exactly right. He really should, and he will do that. I think we might actually see him more on Instagram and some of the social media before you'll ever see him back on TV again.
Yeah, I think if I'm Tiger Woods, I'm resting this thing up as best as I can right now, because I think in Tiger's case, health is paramount right now. Listen, the golf ability is there. And we're going to hear from his caddy, Joe LaCava, a little bit later on. He was on Waddle and Sylvie back on Monday, right after Tiger Woods completed his round and his tournament at Augusta. We'll hear from him a little bit later on in the show. But he still has the golf in him. That is apparent. Even though he struggled a little bit at times, I think it's more the getting your golf legs back under you for Tiger, especially the walking portion of this, because we've seen him do it at the PNC with the cart when he's playing alongside his son Charlie. We've seen that before. We've seen him hit good shots in that regard. But can he withstand the 4 days of playing and walking a major course? And I think, obviously, Augusta's going to be one of the more difficult ones that he's going to encounter over the course of this entire stretch that he's going through right now. That's why, to me, I think you rest this thing up as best as you can, and I'd like to see him in the majors, but if you have to sit one out and it means you can play two more, I'd rather see that. I'd rather see more Tiger. I'd rather see more good Tiger, too, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to go out, I'm going to make the cut, and then I'm just going to fall off on Saturday and Sunday.
No doubt. And I think the two events that he has coming up, he's going to have to contend with something that he never had to contend with at Augusta, and that is major championship rough. With that back, I think he's actually going to play in these events to prepare for St. Andrews.
Yeah, and that's, to me, that's where you start. That's the big one that I'm looking for. And he's committed to it. He's talked about it. This is Tiger Woods after his round at Augusta with Sky Sports, talking about what's next for him now that he's got Augusta in the rearview mirror.
I really don't know. Even like 3 weeks ago, I didn't know if I was going to play this event. I have a lot of work to do. The endurance in the leg wasn't very good. I can start out. I mean, it's sore as hell when I start out. Once it gets warmed up, it's good. I can be able to hit good shots. And then the endurance goes, and I hit some pretty ugly ones. You know, that's one of the things that we're going to have to work on and see what the schedule is. And as I alluded to in a number of press conferences, I won't be playing a full schedule ever again. And so it'll be just the big events. I don't know if how it'll play Southern Hills or not, but I am looking forward to St. Andrews, and so that is, you know, something that is near and dear to my heart. And I've won two Opens there, and it's a home of golf, and it's my favorite golf course in the world. So I will be there for that one. But anything in between that, I don't know. I will try, and there's no doubt. This week, I will try and get ready for Southern Hills, and we'll see what this body was able to do.
You can hear the pain in his voice there. And it's so tough to hear sometimes with a guy, an icon, a guy who he goes out there and even his peers out there on the course are kind of awestruck when he's out there and when he's playing in groups with them. It's painful to hear it that way, but in terms of a PGA championship, you could tell how much of a burden playing in the Masters put on him. I'm not overly optimistic he'll be at the PGA, but St. Andrews, I think you can put that almost in Sharpie at this point.
Oh, absolutely. And again, He just said it. That's his favorite course in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't he be there? And it's also telling that that's the first event that he committed to. So the Pro-Am that he's going to play in the Irish Open, that's to get his body and the time.
And that's only 2 days.
Yeah. And but it's to get his legs about him, to get on that time zone differential, mm-hmm. And to get his body acclimated to being over in Europe.
Yeah. All right. Let's give away one of these zero friction prize packs. So here's how all of this is going to work. All right. We're going to have 8 winners of these prize packs throughout. So there's some balls, there's some gloves, there's some tees, a bunch of really cool stuff courtesy of Zero Friction here. Then on top of that, we're going to have 8 winners over the course of the show, Mike. We're going to put all those names in a little cup. I think I see a little ESPN Chicago mug here. We'll rally all the names up of the 8 winners, and you're all going to also be eligible for our larger prize pack. That includes a Zero Friction Laser Pro rangefinder and a Zero Friction wheel bag as well. So we're going to give those away as a grand prize. So you got to get in. You got to be one of the 8 that wins one of these smaller prize packs if you want to win the big one here. So 312-332-3776. Be caller 10 right now, and you will win a Zero Friction prize pack and be in the running to pick up one of the big prizes. That is the Laser Pro rangefinder from Zero Friction and the wheel bag as well. So be caller 10 right now, 312-332-3776. When we come back, we got to get into where Tiger's master comeback ranks in the all-time heroic comebacks in all of sports, not just golf, all of sports. Where does him making the cut at Augusta and going out there just about 14 months removed from a horrific car accident that nearly took his leg? We'll discuss that in just a little bit on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
It's the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our 3 Chicagoland locations today. Congratulations to Robert in South Holland. He's our first winner of the Zero Friction prize packs, and that puts his name in the running for our big prize of the Zero Friction wheel bag and this Laser Pro Zero Friction rangefinder. Don't forget, we're going to talk to John Iacono, the founder of Zero Friction. That's coming up at 8:15. He's going to tell you all the little gear tips and tricks that you need to be ready for by the time you get going with your golf season. You're already underway, my friend Mike Gilligan. And guess what? I don't know if you've looked at the weather for next weekend, but boy, it is 70 degrees both days. It's looking sunny. It's looking like it's going to be the first day where we're going to see these courses jam-packed.
That's right. Mother Nature's just getting the last of that winter blast to remind us that she's up there, but she's about to grant us some pure golfing weather. And the long-range forecast looks absolutely ideal, and it really starts on Friday. But Saturday, 77.
And don't forget, Friday's that first CDGA member appreciation event as well at our presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club. Real quick, can you tell everyone a little bit about what they can expect if they are a part of this event and some of the events to come as well with the CDGA?
That's right. Well, on Friday, we kick off our social competitions with our first event. And it's a CDGA member appreciation day. It's a 10 a.m. shotgun on a Friday. Registration closes Monday night. So if we still have some room. So if people want to sign up, cdga.org, and go to the social competitions tab, and you can sign up. And basically, you don't have to have a partner. We'll pair you up. You can bring a foursome, a twosome, whatever you want. Men and women, just come on out and play some golf. And it's really our way of saying thank you to our 87,000 members who decide to join us. And we have done this with Glenview Park for the last few years, and that's a great way to start it all off. And then actually next month, when the weather is even better, we have a trip that we take members up to Sand Valley. And if you've ever been up to Sand Valley, it is a phenomenal, phenomenal golf course. Wisconsin is quickly becoming a state destination for golf, and Sand Valley is one of the iconic places. And we have a trip going up there from May 15th to the 17th. You leave on a Sunday, and you play Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and come on back. And again, if you're interested, we do have a few spots remaining for the Sand Valley trip. And again, that's cdga.org.
Awesome. So can't wait to see all of you out there at the CDGA, the first event this Friday at Glenview Park Golf Club. All right, so the question we posed out there, Tiger Woods, he makes this heroic comeback at the Masters. Just him being there and completing a hole of golf, I think, was an accomplishment in and of itself, let alone making it to the finish line and wrapping up four straight days of competitive golf at the highest level at the most distinguished tournament that golf has to offer. And it got me thinking, where does this sort of rank in terms of heroic comebacks in all of sports? And if you've got one you want to throw it up against, 312-332-3776. We'd love to hear from you. And anyone who hops on in, you are a part of the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. So where are you putting this, Mike? Because I kind of parallel it to what we saw out of Alex Smith in the NFL, where it looked like it was a career-ending injury. It looked like at a point it may have been a life-threatening injury as well, but he made it back on the football field. Now, football's different than golf, right? Alex Smith is dropping back, and I think in that first game back, he was going up against, I can't remember if it was Aaron Donald, or I think it was Aaron Donald, one of the most ferocious pass rushers in all of football. That's a little bit different than walking up hills at Augusta, but it's still remarkable what Tiger Woods did out there and survived. But I kind of parallel it there, where he went out there, he made it back on the field, wasn't great, but just making it back out there in and of itself is a major, major accomplishment.
Oh, no doubt. And I think the comparison to Alex Smith is so spot on at this point. And I say that at this point of his comeback, because like Alex Smith, he thought he was going to lose his leg, as did Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have an aunt that's going through, she is had to have an amputation, and it's not easy mentally. It's the worst thing that could ever happen to somebody.
Just the thought of it.
Yeah. Right? But you know, to make a decision on where this ranks, I think right now it's in progress. Because when you take a look at, let's say, Ben Hogan's situation with the bus crash, he came back to win, and not only did he win, he won six major championships. And here was a guy that had absolutely no right to be living after going head on with a bus. And the thing that saved his life was when he dove across to try to save his wife. And that way he didn't have the steering wheel impale him. So he was able to come back and win. And I still think that that comeback is still the greatest of them all in terms of iconic. But the Tiger Woods story is not over yet. It's
right.
Just beginning.
Exactly. And that's the most fascinating part, I think, of this Tiger mystique and what's next for Tiger is, yeah, it's just beginning. He's played in his first real event, and there's probably going to be two or three more that he plays in, maybe even a handful more of that over the course of this 2022 PGA Tour schedule. And who knows how he's going to go out there. I mean, he loves the old course at St. Andrews, and he's going to have a chance to play there. He loves all these other little stops along the PGA Tour as well. He's going to have his chance to shine at some of them, and he's always going to be the draw. Like you've seen the tweet out there on the internet 1,000 times. He doesn't move the needle. Tiger Woods is the needle. And that could not be more true. Just look at the walk up 18. Just listen to the crowd. The practice rounds that he's playing at Augusta are drawing 35,000. You realize, like, some of the biggest baseball stadiums bring 35,000. I mean, there's football stadiums, like some college football stadiums that only hold 35,000 people. And there's 35,000 people crowding around a tee box, a green, along the fairway, just to catch a little piece of Tiger Woods.
He's golf's version of the Beatles or Elvis Presley. Everybody wants to be a part of what's happening with Tiger. Again, we had some staff and board of directors down at the Masters, and they said that the practice rounds were absolutely off the charts with the volume, the roars. And it also helped that, you know, we've been under this pandemic and the mm-hmm. the crowds, we didn't have any in 2020, and then 2021, they were very limited. So I think there was a lot of pent-up celebratory type of stuff that wanted to go on. You throw a dash of Tiger Woods in there, and it's all going to happen. It was a major, excuse me to say this, Augusta, but it was a major party with your patrons.
I look at it like, because of the draw of the practice round, and again, the practice round, it's always cool to go down to Augusta and all that stuff, but it's still a little bit different than when you're on there for the actual competition itself. But if you're at a practice round with 35,000, it almost feels like the real damn thing.
Oh, absolutely it does. And, you know, and I think that everyone's got their microscope on Tiger, but I think people also have to be a little bit patient with the comeback as well. We just want to anoint him Superman. He's going to come out bulletproof, and, you know, he's going to perform right on cue. And I think we're starting to see that he's human just like the rest of us, and he's going to have to, you know, be patient with himself, but I do think he can do it. I really do. I think he may not win 18, but I think he can still win again.
Your gut, does he win another? It doesn't have to be a major. Does he win another tour event in 2022? Or I should say his first in 2022.
I don't know about a tour event. I actually think he's got a better chance at winning the British Open. Okay. I honestly do. Because that's his course.
Right.
And he won't have, as long as he keeps that thing in play, he's not going to have to battle the U.S. Open or the PGA rough, which is going to be brutal in this time of year. Because if you look at your lawn in the spring, the blade of grass is so thick and so robust, right? Mm-hmm. And when they grow that stuff to 4-4.5 inches at, you know, Southern Hills and at the country club up in Brookline, that's going to be where you just get that ball a little off course. Now, all of a sudden, that back, the leg, and all of that has to take all that undue pressure. At St. Andrews, you can land airplanes on these fairways. They're so wide, right? Yep. He's just got to stay away from all the bunkering, right? And so by doing that, I think he's got a great chance. I think by then, he's going to be a lot stronger. He's going to be more in golf shape, if to excuse mm-hmm. the pun, but yep. he really will be. And I think putting many more experiences under his belt, the way Tiger thinks is a lot different than the way you and I think. I know he has the British Open, and that's his prize.
Yeah.
That's the mm-hmm. prize. And that's where I think that's the path of least resistance for him. It sets up well on the calendar. And as long as they get decent weather over there, I think that's where he's got his best shot. So I think if he's going to win, he's going to win the British Open. I don't think he'll win a tour event because, quite frankly, I don't think he's going to play in many.
Yeah, and that's a good point. He's committed to the Open. He has not committed to anything else on the tour right now. He's thrown his name around for little events here, but he has not committed to anything. And it could be one of those things where he may run it up to the buzzer with a lot of these different events. All right, let's give another one of these Zero Friction prize packs away, shall we? So we've got some balls, we've got some gloves, we've got some tees, we've got some more goodies with you. And if you win one of these, you will become one of the 8 contestants that has a chance to win the big prize pack that includes a Zero Friction Laser Pro rangefinder as well as the Zero Friction wheel bag as well. So those are the grand prize if you get your name in the hopper. 312-332-3776. Let's do it again. Caller 10 right now. You're going to win a Zero Friction prize pack and put yourself in the running for the big prize as well. 312-332-3776. Coming up next, Tiger Woods' caddy, Joe LaCava, was on with Waddle and Sylvie earlier in the week. We'll hear what he had to say about Tiger Woods, the entirety of that round as well, and get a little bit more of his insight on what could be next for Tiger Woods as well. This segment was sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our 3 Chicagoland locations today. I'm Tyler Rocky. He's Mike Gilligan from the CDGA. We'll be right back here on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Rocky.
Barry Barry's got the day off today. I'm Tyler Aki. He is Mike Gilligan from the CDGA. We're with you until 9 o'clock on this Easter morning. Happy Easter to all who celebrate. Happy Passover. A very festive weekend across our great city of Chicago. And hopefully by next weekend, everything's going to be warmed up a little bit more into the 70s. We should have some good golf weather next weekend. It's always going to be a fun one here on the CDGA Golf Show when golf is really in the air and you can feel it outside and Mother Nature is cooperating as well. Don't forget, we've got a bunch of great prizes for today as well. We've got these zero friction prize packs and it's all going to put you in the running to win the big prize. And that is a Laser Pro Zero Friction Rangefinder and a Zero Friction Wheel Pro golf bag as well. That's all one prize, but you got to get in. You got to be one of these eight that win these prize packs from Zero Friction. There's balls, there's gloves, there's tees, and a whole lot more. Michael from Wheeling, you are in the hopper right now, so you're going to have a chance to win that big prize pack at the end of the show. So Joe LaCava, Tiger Woods' caddy, was on Waddle and Sylvie on Monday, the day after Tiger Woods finished his time at Augusta. And he was fantastic. He always is very generous with his time with the guys. And he was asked about his emotions of Tiger Woods and playing in that Masters.
You know, obviously the first emotion is pumped up, jacked up. I'm not going to lie to you, a little surprised. You know, I saw him a month earlier at the Hall of Fame induction. And, you know, I knew he was making progress and, you know, I probably know a little bit more than most, but I didn't think he was quite ready, or at least not a month ago when I saw him at the Hall of Fame. But I also knew his goal was, you know, after he hosted the Genesis and did his Hall of Fame deal, that he was going to be all in on rehabbing and strengthening the leg and the ankle and getting ready. And I tell most people the same thing. If it wasn't Augusta, would he have played last week? Probably not. Was he fully ready? Probably not. But this tournament means so much to him. He was going to put all he could into it and get back for this tournament. And obviously, I think overall the week was pretty successful.
Yeah, and he's right. Overall, the week was pretty successful. But I think he was just like the rest of us and feeling that shock that he was even able to put together a four-day stretch of golf out there at Augusta.
Absolutely. He sees it up close and personal. So, you know, if Joe LaCava is, you know, all in and surprised at the all at the same time, then I think what we're seeing and feeling is spot on. We're reading the situation correctly.
Yeah, I look at it too as this guy knows him so well. He texts with him all the time. I mean, he's his personal caddy, right? And he saw him at the Hall of Fame induction, what do you say, a month prior to the Masters?
That's right.
And he didn't think he was going to play then, and all of a sudden, he gets to April, and the script has been flipped. And that, to me, just kind of shows that it just adds to the mystique of Tiger Woods. And that, to me, is part of the fascination of what he deals with. And he also addressed, too, all right? So, obviously, we only saw the Tiger that was out there on the course, right? But he talked about the army and the village that it took in the recovery process as well for Tiger.
Yeah, no, what he does is he has a physical therapist that works on him in the morning before he actually leaves the house. And then once he leaves the house, he's got his guy Colby who works on him, you know, over at the golf course. So he's stretched out, he's fresh and ready to go. So it's a 2 or 3 hour process in the morning before a round and basically the same thing after a round. So it's a, you know, you may be at the golf course 7 or 8 hours, but it's a 12-hour day. You know, a ton of stretching and a ton of rehabbing, and then obviously trying to strengthen the leg at the same time. So a lot does go into it. And then obviously you hear him talk about the ice baths and stuff like that, and a lot of icing and stuff like that. At least at that time he can sort of sit around and watch TV and unwind a little bit. But basically, like I said, it's a 12- to 15-hour process, wow, either through stretching and icing and stuff like that.
And that's the stuff behind the scenes.
That's
right?
Exactly right. And, you know, the ice baths take me back to that's exactly what Ben Hogan had to do. Mm-hmm. And he had to do it every day. And, you know, it's interesting. We wake up with, you know, sore, tired, long week at the office, and we're trying to get ourselves geared up to play golf on a cold Saturday, Sunday morning. We don't have an army like this.
Right.
I mean, he has the ability and the resources to take this recovery and preparation to a level that is never, you know, that most of us can't even imagine. But the one thing that I didn't hear Joe talk about in some of his spots here is his tolerance for pain. Tiger can, I mean, is I guess call it trained by his father, but on the other hand, he has an ability to ward off and take pain out of the mental equation. And it was most notable, if you listen to some of the caddies and the people that played with him in 2008 in the U.S. Open, when his leg was, for the most part, basically broken. Mm-hmm. And they could hear it click.
Yep.
With every step. Now, if that happened to me or if that happened to you, we'd probably crumble and say, no mas.
Well, we'd be in a cart. That's for damn sure.
That's exactly right. We'd be in a golf cart. Let's start there. But Tiger has an ability mentally of blocking things out like this. And I'm sure that he had to do quite a bit of that all throughout Augusta. And he's got to prepare his body and his mind for that same type of approach as he enters, whether it's the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, or the British Open, or any tournament that he's going to play in in the future. He's going to have to deal with this. This isn't going to go away like a cold or even COVID for that matter, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be with him the rest of his life.
Yeah. By the way, this segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Okay, one more here from Joe LaCava. He talked about the future and what the future holds. And again, he's going to be the guy paired at the hip with Tiger Woods all along this process. So he's cued in on everything going on. And Joe LaCava was asked, is Tiger going to play more than just the Open?
I think in his mind, mentally, he definitely wants to play some more. When I say play some more, I mean, obviously he's focused on the majors, I think for a couple of reasons. Obviously it's the majors, and that's what he's kind of built around, and that's what he's all about. And I think the schedule's favorable where there's like 3 to 4 to 5 weeks in between them, kind of a once-a-month thing. Pretty early to answer that question. I was telling a couple guys yesterday, I want to see how he feels a week from today, how the recovery goes and stuff like that. The recovery goes halfway decent because I think it's going to take time for him to recover before he can really get back in the gym and start to try to strengthen the leg and the ankle. So I think if the recovery goes well, yes, I can see him maybe playing 2 or 3 events. But like you said, that's a guess. I'm not a doctor. He hasn't played 4 days in a row, let alone, basically he was on his feet for 8 days practicing and playing. So it's all about recovering, and we'll go from there. But yeah, I'm hopeful that he does.
So that's Joe LaCava on Waddle and Sylvie. That was back on Monday. And I think he brought up an interesting point there. How does he feel a week from that day? So basically today. How is he feeling today? How is Tiger feeling on this Sunday, a week removed from walking 4 at Augusta? How's that leg holding up at this point?
That's exactly right. And I think as this week wears on, if we don't get any bad news, that's great news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, that's the perfect way to put it, because it's one of those things. If it's not barking, if it's not acting, you're not going to hear Tiger feels great, right? You're going to hear Tiger feels like crap right now.
That's right.
That's the news that you'll hear. You're not going to hear, oh, he's feeling good, he's making No, you're not going to hear that right now. You're going to hear the other stuff, the negative stuff in all likelihood.
No doubt. And I think as golf fans, the worst thing we could hear is that he had a setback during his recovery, that everything was good, but then he overextended himself or he did something to aggravate or, much like any other athlete for that matter. But I think, again, no news, good news.
I'm with you there. All right. Let's give away another one of these zero friction prize packs here. Our third one, again, you're going to get some balls, you're going to get some gloves, you're going to get some tees, all in this zero friction prize pack here. 312-332-3776. Caller 10 is going to be the winner, and it gives you a chance to be in the running to win this zero friction wheel bag and the Zero Friction Laser Pro rangefinder. I'm in the market for one of these rangefinders. I cannot wait to talk to John Iacono, the founder of Zero Friction. He's going to join us at 8:15 today. But right now, caller 10, 312-332-3776. Line them up right now here on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. This segment was sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. I'm Tyler Rocky. He's Mike Gilligan. We also have to talk a little bit about golf on TV, because that made some headways down the stretch at the Masters. What did Nick Faldo do? We'll talk about that coming up next.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
The segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. I'm Tyler Aki. He's Mike Gilligan from the CDGA. Happy to be with you on this Sunday morning. Happy Easter. Happy Passover to everyone out there celebrating. We've got something really intriguing on the tour right now. And it's kind of, how is golf on TV delivered? And this is where everything, this is the genesis. Well, let's be honest. There's been plenty of problems with golf on TV in the past, right? Right, Mike? But the thing that caught everyone's eyes at the Masters this past week came on CBS, courtesy of Nick Faldo. And here, take a listen to what happened right before Rory McIlroy hit that immaculate bunker shot on 18.
It could be one swing coming up that might get away.
This is Cameron Smith.
A swing he will
lining up a putt
until he gets back here next year.
Jim, while you're talking to me, I'm not going to give anything away, but something unbelievable has just happened.
I think I know.
It is unbelievable.
Smith continues to measure what he must do.
I'm sorry, but wait to see this. I've got goosebumps. I'm shaking. You just saw what Rory did. Bunker to bunker. This is impossible.
Anything's possible. What a round. 64. It matches the lowest final round score in Masters history. What off the course record.
So you heard Nick Faldo, Sir Nick Faldo, talk about there's something going on over on 18 there. And that's part of the problem, I think, with golf on TV. Obviously, you can't have all 18 going up at once. And who knows, maybe they move to some sort of like what the NFL has with the Sunday ticket, where you can have 18 split boxes up, right? Like maybe we do get to that point at some day. It's some advanced golf package that you can buy. But this is Nick Faldo. This is on the Dan Patrick Show on Monday after this happened, talking about what happened and spoiling the moment for Rory McIlroy.
I know it was a rookie mistake, but you know, I'm sitting there right in there and it just happened, and it was just off the charts. And so Jim's talking to me, asking me a question, and I know. And so when you hear the patrons roar, the crowd go nuts. You can't come back and go, let's look at Rory live out of the bunker at 18, because you know it's now on tape, a split second on tape. And I just I got caught up in that for that split second. I said, you know, I reacted in an and so yeah, you're right. I got it all wrong for a split second. I seriously was shaking because I thought Rory's going to win the green. I thought something could happen. He's trying to. We know the story, and he pulls off an impossible shot, and his reaction. And I'm sitting right in the middle of it. So I'm sorry. I blurted, you know. I didn't actually say what happened. I said, oh, my God. So, you know, you won't believe what's happened or something. So, yeah, spoiler alert. But, hey, I guess rookie mistake. But, gosh, when you're in it, like, I mean, you can tell I love it. I mean, I'm right in the mix of it, literally. And then he pulls off that. And I honestly thought for a second, because, you know, anything could happen. If he posts, I kept saying all day, if Rory could post, you know, 8 under, and, you know, and he could have won. I mean, it's very easy for Scotty to get in the trees and be, you know, be stymied behind a tree and has to chip out and makes a mess. So, yeah, as you know, you're up there doing live golf. I've been up there for 18 odd years now. So that was my first up.
So that's Nick Faldo talking about it on the Dan Patrick Show. What did you think when you heard him sort of spoil that moment?
Well, actually, I thought of the late Frank Cherkinian, and he's the old executive producer for CBS Sports and really made Masters television coverage what it is today. He would have been screaming in his earpiece, what are you doing? Because honestly, Frank taught all of us that you just let the players play and let them tell the story. I think the great Vin Scully did it best by just letting the event breathe. And all he had to do is, A, be quiet, say nothing. And then when he comes back, no, he doesn't have to say that they're live. And all he has to say is, a moment ago. And then let the rest of it play out.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, we're going to have, I have some more golf on TV thoughts. We'll do that in just 2 minutes here on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment was brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive. Also, what's going on down at Harbortown? We'll give you an update from there as well on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.